Ate moha kalilam budhir vyati tarishyati tada gandhasi nirvedam srotavyasya srutasya cha. When your intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are many good examples in the lives of the great devotees of the Lord, of those who became indifferent to the rituals of the Vedas simply by devotional service to the Lord. When a person factually understands Krishna and his relationship with Krishna, he naturally becomes completely indifferent to the rituals of fruitive activities. Even though an experienced Brahman, Sri Madhavendra Puri, a great devotee and acharya in the line of devotees, says, "O my prayers three times a day, all glory to you. O bathing, I offer my obeisances unto you. O demigods, O forefathers, please excuse me for my inability to offer you my respects. Now, wherever I sit, I can remember that great descendant of the Yadu dynasty, Lord Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, and thereby I can free myself from all sinful bondage. I think this is sufficient for me." The Vedic rites and rituals are imperative for neophytes, comprehending all kinds of prayer three times a day, taking a bath early in the morning, offering respects to the forefathers, etc. But when one is fully in Krishna consciousness and is engaged in his transcendental loving service, one becomes indifferent to all these regulative principles because he has already attained perfection. If one can reach the platform of understanding by service to the Supreme Lord Krishna, he has no longer to execute different types of penances and sacrifices recommended in the revealed scriptures. And similarly, if one has not understood that the purpose of the Vedas is to reach Krishna and simply engages in the rituals, etc., then he is uselessly wasting time in such engagements. Persons in Krishna consciousness transcend the limit of Shabda Brahma, or the range of the Vedas and Upanishads. Second chapter, text 52. Herein Lord Sri Krishna is explaining that the pure state of consciousness or intelligence is that which is freed from any desires, either for our own personal enjoyment or even the desire to renounce everything of this world, because they are both born of material conceptions. The Vedas explain in various parts how, by performing various yajñas and rituals, we can please the demigods, or perhaps please the Supreme Lord, and therein receive great benefits from them. Material benefits, wealth, prestige, power, victory, promotion to higher realms, Bhuvaloka, Bhuvarloka, Janaloka, Maharloka, Swargaloka, Satyaloka, where life is full of incredible pleasures, longevity. But these are considered to be obstacles in the path of real spiritual realization. And others, frustrated with this material world, want to take to a life of detachment, renunciation, by performing severe tapasya, long, long periods of fasting, meditation, giving up all of their material wealth to live in a secluded place. Krishna explains this type of renunciation is also a great obstacle, an impediment on the path of the perfection of life. It is only through service, through bhakti, through considering oneself the servant of the Lord and performing the will of the Lord with our words, with our thoughts, and with our actions, that we can actually approach the Supreme. This is the essence of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna did not want Arjuna to enjoy the prestige of the world, nor did he want him to renounce the things of this world. He wanted him to utilize everything in the service of the Lord. Bhakti means to become free from the enjoying spirit, even to the extent where we do not want to enjoy Krishna. We want to be enjoyed by Krishna. Especially in the neophyte stages of devotional service, it is an impediment to be longing for the darshan of Krishna. It is an impediment to be longing. It is dangerous, actually, that Krishna prove himself in various ways to us. Rather, we should be striving for the humble position of Krishna. May you be pleased upon seeing what I am doing. May you be pleased upon hearing what I am saying. Those who want to enjoy God, they want to be the subject, and they want God to be the object of their enjoyment. But in the true path of bhakti, we understand Krishna is the supreme subject, and we are the object which is meant to be enjoyed by him. Not only enjoyed by him, to be utilized by him in any way that he desires. This is Krishna consciousness. Devotees do not want to see Krishna perform miracles, because then again, Krishna becomes the object of our subjective enjoyment. Devotees do not want Krishna to prove his existence. Devotees do not want Krishna to prove anything to us. Devotees are simply begging for Krishna, how can I prove my love for you through service, through devotion? This is the only path of perfection. Sometimes devotees, after practicing Krishna consciousness for some time, they become impatient. Why I am not seeing Krishna? Why I am not feeling ecstatic bliss? But this should not be our concern. We should know that the supreme wealth that Krishna gives us is he allows us to be enjoyed by him. He allows us to serve him. This is truly the most precious fortune in all of creation. Krishna is allowing us to serve him. Krishna is allowing us to be with his devotees. There's no greater miracle than this. We don't want anything other than this. Real spiritual advancement means to the degree that you want nothing but Krishna's service and service to Krishna's devotees. This should be our aspiration. If we want any other signs from God, any other miracles performed by God, if we want any type of material facilities from God, then we are on the wrong path. We are not on the path that will take us to the spiritual world. We are meant to be utilized for God's purpose in any way He pleases. This is the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ashtlisya vāpādaratam panashtumam adarshana maramahatam karotuvā yathātatātā vidatātu lampato mātpranānatāstu sa eva nāpara. My Lord, if you like, you can reveal yourself to me. If you like, you can make me broken-hearted by not being present before me. You can trample on me, you can neglect me. You have a right to deal with me in any way you please, because I am meant for your purposes. You are not meant for my purposes. I am your servant unconditionally. Krishna himself descended as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach the highest perfection of all religion in this verse. And this is the aspiration of the Vaishnavas. You see, Krishna consciousness is the awakening of our original consciousness. Our original consciousness is that we are the eternal servants of Krishna. They are willing to accept whatever pleases Krishna. And this humility is what attracts the all-attractive. The name Krishna means all-attractive. He is the supreme most attractive. It explains in Gita that all the beautiful and wonderful things of this world which are enamoring our minds, all the wealth, all the natural scenery, all the beautiful features of people's bodies, the jewels, various beautiful creations of man, art. He says, it is all but a spark of my supreme, all-attractive splendor. Krishna is all-attractive. Everything beautiful is just an infinite aspect of the supremely beautiful qualities of Krishna. And it is the soul's nature to be attracted to Krishna. So why is it that we are not attracted to Krishna? Why is it we are standing before his very personal form, the deity? Why is it that we are chanting his name in whom he is fully present, and we are not intoxicated with ecstatic love? In fact, sometimes we are not attracted at all. Radha Gopinath are here. Krishna in his full, original, supreme form, with his eternally merciful consort, Srimati Radharani. And yet, why for even a second would we rather be anywhere else? Because we are not really attracted. Why, when we are chanting in kirtan, we are thinking it is very hot in the room? Or when we are chanting japa, we are thinking, I only have one more round to go. Why this attraction, the supreme attractive force of Krishna, is not completely conquering our minds and our senses, which is our natural position? It is only due to false pride. Because although Krishna is all attractive, he reveals himself when he is attracted by our humility and service. He will not attract us until he is attracted by our sincerity. And that is bhakti. Bhakti means humility. It means accepting a lowly position for the pleasure of God. A magnet has attractive qualities. A magnet has the power to attract. But if you put two magnets together, I believe the opposites attract each other. Is that correct, Radhisham? He's from IIT. If you put the positive side and the positive side together, what happens? As the magnet comes closer to the positive of another magnet, it goes farther away. But if you take the negative side of the magnet close to the positive side of the original magnet, it's attracted. The force and the power of that magnetic field brings them together. So in the same way, we are all part of Krishna. He is the supreme magnet. We are all meant to be attracted by him. But it is negative, opposite type of consciousness that attracts Krishna, the positive consciousness. Krishna is all great. If we think we're great, then we will be pushed away from Krishna. Krishna is all beautiful. If you think that you are beautiful, that will push you away from Krishna. Krishna is all powerful. If you are proud of your power, that will repel your consciousness away from Krishna. And it will also be unattractive to Krishna. If we think that we are very learned, Krishna is the supreme most learned. He knows everything. Then we push Krishna away. We go farther from Krishna. When we consider, to the degree we consider ourselves low, we attract the high. To the degree we consider ourselves meek and helpless, we attract the all-powerful supreme. To the degree we consider ourselves small, to that degree we attract the great. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya gave us the formula. Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishmana, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One must feel oneself more low than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than the tree, ready to give all respect to others and to expect no respect for oneself. It is through this process of humility, taking the humble position, that we attract Krishna. And when we attract Krishna, then Krishna reveals his all-attractive nature to us. A devotee never wants a high position. A devotee wants to take the lowest position. If Krishna orders that devotee to take a high position, he will do it out of obedience. But his nature is simply to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servants. Faith is given to those devotees who learn the art of properly associating with Vaishnavas. And that faith is really what makes our connection to Krishna, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, devotees are not the slightest bit concerned with seeing miracles. Why? We already know Krishna can do anything. We already know his eternally empowered servants, the demigods, they can do so many things. We don't need evidence. We don't need proof. We don't want favors. We want service. Because we have that faith. We have that faith that Krishna is everywhere. That Krishna is in everything. He is within our hearts. We have that faith that if we become the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, then the interior feeling of devotion awakens in our heart, and that is the only thing we want. We are not concerned with seeing things in this world. We are concerned with that revolution of consciousness within us. We are concerned with becoming detached from all things outside of what gives pleasure to Krishna. That is our aspiration. That is our desire. And how to achieve such a state of consciousness, how to achieve such faith, we must associate with the Lord's devotees. We should know that if there is any great benediction, if there is any great miracle that Krishna has given us, it is the association of his devotees. Because by that association, our hearts can be transformed. By seeing some magical feat, our hearts are not transformed. Maybe some little more belief is attained. But the association of devotees and serving of the devotees and hearing from devotees could increase our faith, could increase our devotion, can improve the interior quality of our consciousness. And therefore, this is the greatest miracle. Srila Prabhupada was such a great soul. When they asked Srila Prabhupada, "Can you show me a miracle?" Srila Prabhupada explained, "What miracle do you want to see?" He said, all of these young boys and girls, they were addicted to so many materialistic conceptions and sinful activities, and now they've given all those things up, and they are chanting the holy names of God and living their lives in the service of God. He said, this is my miracle. And one time, a mystic yogi, who was a very, very great magician who could perform all sorts of mystical feats, he was showing Prabhupada his magic. And Srila Prabhupada said, you are making so many things disappear and so many things appear. Do you have the power to make the cycle of birth and death disappear? And the magician said, no, I could make gold appear and disappear. I could make ashes appear and disappear. But birth and death, I cannot make disappear. Srila Prabhupada said, then it is all useless. He said, I can help. He said, by Krishna's grace, I can teach you the way where you can make birth and death disappear. Therefore, Prabhupada said, I am the real magician. Because temporary things only give temporary enjoyment, but ultimately they give us frustration. One who can give us our original eternal consciousness, that person is performing the greatest miracle in our life. And that comes through developing the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant, and chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Because we are in a foreign land, this material world is a foreign place for the eternal soul, which is part of Krishna. And all of the phenomena of this world are so many trappings. The enjoyments of the senses are trappings keeping us in this world. The attraction to the heavenly planets, the attraction to liberation, the attraction to mystic perfections and mystic miracles, they are all obstacles. They are all keeping us trapped in this world. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami has prayed, Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmanyanavitam. anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktirumita. That devotion must be untainted by attraction, appeal for the charms of any of these things. Real devotion, which is the only way of attracting Krishna, is when we take the humble position that, Krishna, I don't want to see you. I want you to be pleased with me. I want to serve you. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, do not try to see God, but try to serve God in such a way that He wants to see you. And what is the greatest way to serve God? Krishna Himself explains, Madhakta Puja Badika, by serving His devotees. This is our wealth. We should not aspire for anything else. There's a story of a disciple of a spiritual master who was a great Vaishnav, and his guru had a special mission, and he was serving his guru's mission. And Krishna was so pleased that Krishna came down and said, please come to Vaikuntha. And he said, I'm not interested in Vaikuntha. I'm interested in serving my Guru Maharaj. This is unmotivated love. This is pure devotional service. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he went to Jagannath Puri, and sometime later he decided to return to Navadvip, especially to deliver all those proud atheistic and materialistic people who criticized him and his devotees in the past. So he came to a place called Kulia. And when he went there, so many people came to beg for his mercy. One Brahmin appeared and he said, my Lord, for all the years you were living in Navadvip, I criticized you, and I criticized your devotees, because he was learned in the scriptures. He would say, what is this, all this loud chanting of the holy names? What is all this bhakti? You are all wasting your time. You are all simply creating a disturbance. He said, I offended so many Vaishnavas through criticism, and I offended you. But now I understand that I have made great, great mistake. What can I do to atone for my offenses? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that if with your mouth you drink poison, that poison will cause you great misery and ultimately death. But with that same mouth, if you drink nectar, it will counteract the effects of all the poison and give you immortality. He said, you have blasphemed the Lord, and you have blasphemed His devotees with your mouth. Such criticism is like deadly, terrible poison. Now with that same mouth, chant Krishna's holy names. And also, of equal importance, use that mouth to glorify Krishna's devotees. Lord Chaitanya said, praising, honoring, glorifying Krishna's devotees is like nectar. It is like amrit. In fact, it is amrit. And through chanting Krishna's names and glorifying, praising Krishna's devotees, all previous sinful activities, even of the worst sort, will be removed. and you will achieve the perfection of Krishna consciousness. In fact, it is said in the scripture that one who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead may or may not achieve perfection in life. But one who worships and serves the Lord's devotees will 100% definitely achieve the supreme perfection in life. At that time, Devananda Pandit, who was a great scholar, he was present. Devananda Pandit was, from birth, very pious. He was a famous reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is explained that he was very pious, completely moral, very, very learned. He had complete control of his mind and senses. And he was so pure in all of his activities. He was really a Brahmin. But even though Lord Chaitanya, who was Krishna himself, was living in his very town, he never had faith in Lord Chaitanya, nor did he have any faith in Lord Chaitanya's devotees. So therefore, although he was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam and no other scripture day and night throughout his life, and he had so many pious moral qualities, he had no desire for sense gratification, he had no devotion, nor did Lord Chaitanya induce within him any faith in God in him. In fact, Devananda Pandit offended Vaishnavas, namely Srivas Thakur, because of no faith. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, one day one of the great associates of Lord Chaitanya, whose name was Vakreshwar Pandit, was performing kirtan. Vakreshwar Pandit would sing such beautiful kirtan, and he would dance so sweetly, so beautifully, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself would love to see the dancing of this devotee. One time Lord Chaitanya said about Vakreshwar Pandit that his dancing is so sweet that he is like my wing, and if I had another wing like him, I would certainly be able to fly. So Devananda Pandit, he was performing kirtan, and by his causeless mercy and ecstasy of love, he decided to have kirtan in the ashram of Devananda Pandit, Vakreshwar Pandit. So he was performing kirtan, and he was singing the holy name so sweetly, and he's dancing so gracefully, that crowds and crowds of people came to see his ecstatic love. Meanwhile, Devananda, he could see that this person is such a glorious soul. He's so pure that Devananda was very, very happy to see Vakreshwar Pandit. And with his stick, he was keeping the crowds back so that Vakreshwar Pandit's dancing will not in any way be disturbed. In this way, he began to serve a devotee. And Vakreshwar Pandit, as he was dancing and dancing and dancing, more and more hundreds and hundreds of people were coming to see. And Devananda Pandit was working very hard to keep room for his dancing. And ultimately Vakreshwar Pandit fell to the ground in ecstatic love. And Devananda Pandit placed his head on his lap and began to remove the dust from his body with great care. Through this service to a devotee, Devananda Pandit received the mercy of the Lord. Through all of his studying Srimad Bhagavatam for his whole life, he never achieved the mercy of the Lord. Through all of his sense control and pious activities and good nature, he never gained real faith in the process of devotion. But because he served a devotee with great care and he developed affection for a devotee, faith awakened within his heart. And then he was simply longing to surrender to Lord Sri Chaitanya. So when Lord Chaitanya came to Kulia, Devananda Pandit was offering his prostrated obeisances from a distance away. But he felt himself so humble, he was ashamed to approach the Lord or come close to him. But when Lord Chaitanya saw him, he was so attracted by the humility of this devotee. He was so attracted by his service to another devotee that Lord Chaitanya called him. This is the principle of the magnet. As long as Devananda thought he was great, no real faith or bhakti could grow in his heart. But when he humbled himself to be the servant of the servant of the Lord was so attracted to call him to his own lotus feet. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Devananda Pandit, because you have developed affection for my devotee, Vakreshwar Pandit, Krishna always resides within his heart. Wherever my devotee is, that place becomes Vaikuntha. Because you have served him with affection and care, therefore I am revealing my supreme nature to you. And Lord Chaitanya bestowed upon him Krishna Prema, pure love of God. Because he accepted the humble position of the servant of the servant of the servant. There is no other way of approaching Krishna. All of our other attempts will be futile unless we have this consciousness. The great miracle that we are looking for in our life is that miracle which brings about more eagerness to serve the Vaishnavas, that eagerness to develop deeper and deeper love for Krishna. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, he performed some miracles, but the miracles were not just something wonderful to be seen, but they completely transformed people's hearts. When we did our Navadvip Parikrama, we went to that place called Amaghat. It is explained that Lord Chaitanya and the devotees, Navadvip Chandra, they were having beautiful, beautiful kirtan throughout the day. And the kirtan was so wonderful that toward the end of the day, the devotees were very fatigued from so much chanting and dancing. So even though it was not at all the mango season, Lord Chaitanya took a mango seed and planted it in the ground. And immediately, right before everybody's eyes, a tree started growing. And in a matter of seconds, it was a full tree. And in a matter of a few more seconds, there were thousands of fully ripened mangoes grown on the tree. Now you may say, this is a great miracle. But that was not the essence of the miracle. Because each mango was so big and so full of sweet juice that anybody, however hungry they would be completely satisfied after eating one mango. And not only that, but those mangoes, they had no skin and they had no seed. They were simply ras. So you may think that's a great miracle, but that's not the real miracle. The real miracle was anyone who smelled those mangoes or anyone who tasted those mangoes, their hearts would completely be transformed with Krishna Prema. And they would ecstatically chant the holy name. So yes, Lord Gauranga performed wonderful miracles, but the result of every one of his miracles is anyone who had any contact with it, their inner hearts would be completely intoxicated with love of Krishna. They became completely transformed to have no inclination toward anything but serving the devotees and chanting the holy name. So this is the real miracle that Lord Chaitanya has given. The treasure of bhakti, pure devotional service. And it is available to everyone. And Krishna will not give it. When he comes himself directly in his avatar, sometimes he distributes wholesale without consideration. But even in regard to Devananda Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not reveal himself until he became the humble servant of the servant of his servants. And similarly today, we must have this faith that by becoming the humble servant of the Lord's devotees, we attract the greatness and the power of Krishna's all-attractive nature upon us. Because after all, mystic powers you can develop simply by performing the process of mysticism. Elevation to heavenly planets you can get through the mechanical process of doing the proper yajna. But bhakti is not like that. Bhakti is only given by the sweet will of Krishna. There's nothing you can do or not do that can force Krishna to give bhakti. He is independent. He is the supreme autocrat. He gives when he wants to give. All we can do is understand what pleases him. Bhakti, serving his devotees, inspiring his devotees to chant the holy names, helping other people come to his lotus feet. These are the things that please Krishna. And this is our concern. We will go on performing these activities throughout our life, or through millions and billions and trillions of lives, we do not mind how long it takes. Because we have faith that if we're pleasing Krishna, then at his sweet will, for his pleasure, he will reveal himself and attract our hearts eternally to his loving service. That is called unconditional love. Krishna is not attracted by conditional love. Unconditional love. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamani shuri bhavata bhakti rahoyita kitvai. Lord Chaitanya taught us this prayer. I do not want wealth. I do not want beautiful female association. I do not want disciples and followers, prestige in this world. I do not even want liberation from sufferings. I only want that birth after birth after birth, you give me the great fortune of being the servant of your servants. This is the supreme benediction. Even Lord Brahma, the most powerful being in this entire universe, this is what he prays for. When Brahma stole the calves and the cowherd boys in Braja, he did it out of pride. He wanted to test Krishna. He wanted to see, what is this Krishna? Devotees don't want to test their Lord. They want to serve their Lord. So when Krishna expanded himself in all the calves and all the Supreme Lord of my life, and he came down and he offered his prayers, and Krishna forgave him, but Brahma was not satisfied. Brahma thought, because of my false pride, because I'm the father of all living beings in this universe, because I'm the master of this whole universal creation, too proud, and therefore I out of illusion, I wanted to test God. Therefore, the offense I have committed, only Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can deliver me from that offense. Because he is the most merciful aspect of Krishna. So Brahma went to Navadvip, and there he began to perform tapasya and worship Lord Chaitanya, because he knew he would appear there in the Kali Yuga. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed himself to Brahma. When he revealed himself, he was very, very large in size, with beautiful, beautiful golden complexion. With his arms raised in an intoxicated mood, he was chanting the holy name. Lord Brahma fell and surrendered to the feet of Lord Gaura Sundar and offered beautiful prayers. And when the Lord asked him to accept a benediction, Lord Brahma said, "This is the benediction I desire. I don't like being Lord Brahma. Too much prestige, too much fame, too much pride. I get carried away. You want to give me a benediction? Let me take birth in your Leela as Lord Chaitanya, and let me be an untouchable. Let me come from the lowest possible caste, so that people spit on me, so that people disrespect me, so that people feel that I'm just useless. And in that humble state of mind, where there's no reason for any pride to be in my heart, let me constantly serve your devotees and chant your holy name." So Lord Chaitanya fulfilled his desire. And he told Brahma that you will appear in a family of Yavanas and your name will be Srila Haridas Thakur. And in your utterly humble position, you will spread the glories of the holy name throughout the world. And then he revealed the internal reasons why he would appear in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Krishna wanted to taste the sweetness of the love of Srimati Radharani. Krishna wanted to understand the happiness that Radharani derived upon serving and loving the Lord. And he wanted to understand what it was about himself that brought Radharani more ecstasy than he could even comprehend himself. And he told Lord Brahma that this is a great secret, you should not reveal it to anyone. So that place where that Leela took place is one of the nine islands in Navadvip called Antardvip, which means the island of great secret. And when Lord Brahma, who is the Lord of Brahma Loka, Satya Loka, came down in the form of Haridas Thakur, living in a simple cave filled with snakes, always chanting Krishna's names, he was the very personification, the embodiment of this verse of Lord Chaitanya. Trinadapi sunichena tadorapi sahishnina ananina manadena kirtaniya sadhavi. And therefore he could chant the holy name constantly. He was chanting 300,000 names every day because he truly felt himself more humble than the blade of grass, more tolerant than the tree. He was ready to offer all respect to others and none in return. And the same Thakur Haridas was willing to accept so much tribulation, so much persecution throughout his life. At one time he was beaten severely by brutal murderers through 22 marketplaces. He was tested by Maya herself. Ramchandra Khan, a terrible, terrible, envious person, sent prostitutes to try to deviate him from the true path. His whole life was full of obstacles. It was not easy. But through it all, he always remained feeling himself completely helpless, depending on Krishna. And in this spirit, he was always chanting the holy name. Through his lifetime of sacrifice and devotion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to reward him. He revealed his beautiful form of Krishna to Haridas in the house of Srivas Pandit. And he asked Haridas, "Ask any benediction of me. I command you to ask a blessing from me." Now, if the Supreme Personality of Godhead were standing before you and said, "I will give you anything you like," what would you ask for? Haridas Thakur's reply is the standard that all Gaudiya Vaishnavas aspire to achieve. Haridas Thakur said, if you insist on giving me something, then give this benediction to me. Then in every birth I take in this material world, assure me that I will always be allowed to take the prasad that has been eaten by your devotees. He said, "I don't mind if I'm a dog or if I'm an insect. If I could have the opportunity in that birth to take the remnants of the food of the Vaishnavas. And in this way, I could worship the Vaishnavas and serve the Vaishnavas. This is the only benediction I desire. If you are kind, please grant me this." This is the supreme gift that we should all aspire for. We should not want elevation to Vaikuntha. We should not want liberation. We should not want to see Krishna dancing before us or playing his flute. We should simply want to serve him unconditionally and serve his devotees. And then whatever he wants to do for us, let him be. Let him do. But we want to make Krishna happy. And what is the process Lord Chaitanya gave us? to chant the holy names with the devotees. There are so many wonderful stories. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world in Keturi Gram, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Janava Devi, Achyutananda, all of these devotees and so many more assembled. And they all began in great humility to serve one another, to show their love for one another in so many ways. And in this mood, they had a wonderful, wonderful kirtan. They were all trying to inspire love of God in each other by their enthusiasm in kirtan. And as the kirtan became more and more progressive in enthusiasm, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, Srivas, Advaita, Vakreshwar Pandit, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Murari Gupta, Swarup Damodar, all the associates of Lord Chaitanya along with he himself, who had all disappeared long before, they all appeared in the kirtan and began to dance with the devotees. And then they disappeared. So yes, if we come together in this sweet mood of humility and chant the holy names of the Lord, then the Lord himself will be pleased to reveal himself to us. When he does, how he does, we are happy in whatever way he deals with us. If we have the treasure of sadhu satsang and hari kirtan. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.